Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Caregiver Speak, the first online support group for caregivers, sponsored by eCareDiary.com. I am Marjorie Papp, the host and moderator for Caregiver Speak. I am the co-author of Enrich Your Caregiving Journey, a book of family stories that demonstrate tools and tips for caregiving. The purpose of the show today is to explore storytelling as a resource tool for caregivers. Today, we are coming to you direct from the Share the Care Convention being held at Disney World in Orlando. For the last 2 days, caregivers have come together to explore resources for greater personal care and resiliency, and to explore tips and tools for caring for their loved ones and friends. One of the resources being explored at this convention is the value of storytelling. With me today are three caregivers.
Jeff Grant.
Hi, Jeff. Welcome. We've just been joined by our third caregiver, who will share how storytelling has affected their caregiving journey. So I'd like for the three of you to just introduce yourselves by your first name. Jeff?
Hi, I'm Jeff Grant. I'm Jeff.
Speak up a little bit more, Jeff, please.
Hi, I'm Jeff.
Hi. Well, welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here. And
my name is Betty.
Hi, Betty.
Hi.
Welcome. Has it been a good convention here?
Great. Very informational.
That's terrific. And?
Good morning. I'm Cynthia, and I thoroughly enjoyed the few days. You learned quite a bit.
That is terrific. You know, I'd like for us to begin, before we get into the value of storytelling, for each of you to just share with us some of the challenges of who you cared for, what the circumstances were for that caring. So, Jeff, go ahead. Why don't you start?
I'm Jeff. I'm a caregiver for my wife. She has MS. She's had it for about 4 years. She's working full-time now as a teacher, a sixth-grade reading teacher. And she struggles every day to try to make a career. I told her she could retire, but she wants to try to do the last 5 years and do a full retirement, do all the cooking, cleaning, driving, and just about everything else there because I'm retired for one thing, and I want to make her life as easy as possible.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Now, have you ever told a story about that or even thought about writing something down for yourself or for your wife?
I hadn't ever really thought about it. Just something I knew I should do caregiving and do it as best, you know, to give her the quality of life that make it as best as possible.
Well, you have an amazing story, and particularly the fact that with even with MS, that she wants to continue working and explore a career. Wow, I mean, I think that humbles me for sure to think that that she is meeting that challenge. Cynthia, how about you? Tell us about your challenges and what you're dealing with.
Well, my mother has Alzheimer's and dementia, and she is now in a nursing facility, full care, memory care. She doesn't, at this point, she doesn't know who I am, but she went through that progress of everything. But it's really hard on caregivers. My mother is a fascinating woman. She spoke 4 or 5 languages. She worked for the CIA, Air America, and the Florida Senate for 25 years, and just well-known and big in politics. And I don't think I was as much aware of Alzheimer's, the impact of it as I should have been. We finally, she wrecked her car one day, and my husband said, I've been telling you for a year, Mom, have it. And then things went downhill. It just changed our whole lives. You know, my mother couldn't relate well, wouldn't take her medicine, stayed really bright. Now she's cute as she can be. She still dances and bugs the little things and prays and all, but she's a completely different person. It just, I don't think people are prepared for that. And then my husband also has MS. And we had my mother live with us for quite a while, and it was amazing because they go through the ups and the downs and stages that I was actually afraid of her, and she thought my dog was a wolf, and she almost killed him. And yeah, medication is one of the biggest things too. But then the things you don't know about it, like I went and bought a wheelchair, and I had no idea that Medicare would give me one. So it's all the learning process. But mostly, I miss her every single minute of every day. The smell of her and her Giorgio cologne—that's all she'd wear.
You know,
the places we went together. I just miss her.
You know, there's a story there. When we were getting to know each other, Cynthia said, well, you know, I've never written down a story, but you're a natural storyteller here. You're talking about senses and sounds. And, you know, great stories start with appealing to people's senses. And so I encourage you. We'll get back with you in a minute here to think
Thank
about
you.
What a story might be. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Betty, I understand that you lost your mother.
Yes, my mother passed away a year ago. I was taking care of her and my brother that had Lou Gehrig's disease, and he passed away the year before her for 4 years. And it was a hard time because I was the only family member. My sister and father were both deceased, and I was the only one here. So that's harder when you don't have someone to share the caregiving with at all. But anyway, my brother died in the nursing home. That was a bad disease, too, Lou Gehrig's disease. My mother, like Cynthia's mother, had Alzheimer's and dementia. And for the last 3 years of her life, she was in an assisted living house, which I prefer over a big facility. And they ate at the kitchen table together. And, you know, it was more of a family atmosphere, which I thought was good for her. She liked to be around people.
Yeah.
But I miss her, and I think about her every day, too. So.
Oh, and it sounds like you have a lot of fond memories of her.
The way we kind of, well, we knew she was kind of having some memory problems, but she was supposed to come to a baby shower for my granddaughter, who was not born, you know, at the baby shower. And the neighbor across the street went over, saw her in her car in her garage. She was supposed to drive to my house, which she knows the way very easily, and then I was going to take her to the baby shower. So I never met the lady across the street until then, and she came over and she said, "What are you doing in your car?" She said, "I don't know. I think I'm supposed to be going to Betty's house." And all of a sudden, I'm home, and I got a phone call from her house. I said, "Oh, well, good. She finally called me. It was Pam." And Pam told me briefly what happened. I said, "Pam, could you please drive her to my house?" So she did, and that was the last time she drove the car. Because the car is another issue. I think sometimes it's hard for family members to tell them, and sometimes the doctors will tell them, and then they kind of have to listen with it.
Right.
She didn't know what really was going on, but it didn't matter. I mean, she was very...
Yeah. So your apprehensions were much bigger than hers. And, you know, a story like that, if you were to write a story, it would be, you know, so helpful for other caregivers, too. I sometimes think that as caregivers, we sometimes worry about something that our loved one wasn't worried about. And so to help other caregivers realize perhaps it's better to...
Well, I realize at this conference, there's people like myself and people that have been taking care of people for a while. There's also quite a few people here that are very new, and they don't know a lot about the disease and some of the ramifications. They can sometimes get violent. I was very fortunate. My mother was a very pleasant, happy person, always smiling no matter what. The funny thing I can think of, well, she had a lot of funny things, but when she'd get examined by a doctor, you know, they'd say, or she had to go to the hospital for something. She did break her hip, and she had hip surgery, but they'd say, "Are those all your own teeth?" And she'd have this big old smile, "Are all my own teeth?" You know, like, 'cause that's kind of unusual. Usually some people have false
teeth. Yeah. You mentioned, you know, there are people at this convention, some of whom have been caring for people like the three of you for quite some time, and others who are new to caregiving. And my belief as a storyteller and author is that you all have a lot to share with others and mentoring others. And sometimes that you don't have to write a long story, but just saying a few lines to somebody, even verbally, to say, here's my story. And that can be an inspiration and a help to other people. And I bet all three of you have done that at this convention, actually.
Yeah, we do.
Exactly.
And we look for the people, the new people, have the stars.
Oh, the
which
new
I think
people
is
have
smart.
The stars.
So we know who,
okay.
So that's good. We know who to go up.
Yeah, that's
because
terrific.
A lot of people are apprehensive. My first
they
time.
They are. Yeah.
Well, that's one of the big purposes of this convention. So thank you for doing that. And we have a fourth caregiver here. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Marcy, and I've been a caregiver umpteen times over for my father, who passed after several strokes and heart disease, for my brother, who has addiction issues as well as cancer, for my mother, who suffers from depression, and I have a brother-in-law who is mid-stage Alzheimer's. And so I am a long-distance caregiver, along with my sister, who is on the ground. She's the boots on the ground, and I'm the long-distance person. And so storytelling for us has become such a critical thing. There's a huge age difference between my brothers and sisters and myself, a good 20 years, between all of them and me. So we have found a way to use storytelling to remember my dad who was gone, but to also, for my sister and I, strengthen our relationship because we really haven't known each other. We didn't grow up as siblings. So that's been very important. But we've also used it to help my brother-in-law and my mom and my brother. My brother-in-law, because he relates to things from so long ago in terms of the Alzheimer's, and for my mom to calm her down when she's having a bad day. And sometimes the storytelling isn't about things in the past, but it's about things that are going on in my life that I know will make her happy and give her a distraction. And for my brother, it's helping him remember a time when things were better for him and to encourage him that things can get better again. So we really use our storytelling in a lot of different ways to, you know, boost spirits and to also care for ourselves. I've found that writing things down when I'm having a tough time dealing with the guilt of being far away, it really helps me sort of kind of work through my issues. It's that pen and that paper or that keyboard are almost like my therapist in a way sometimes, you know, because you can't always get to a therapist or afford a therapist or you just can't physically take that time out of the home or out of the day. So I've found storytelling to have so many uses, and I think that's our point today, is to kind of bring that to everyone and say, even if you're not sitting down and writing a book, because a lot of people think, well, I'm not a writer and I can't, but, you know, our oral history is so critical, and just sharing stories with one another or new people that we meet, like we're doing here at this conference. You know, we're meeting each other, we're telling stories, and you never know how your past, how your story is going to connect with somebody else and help them or give them just a moment of respite or trigger an idea for them that they can take away. So,
yes, storytelling is about hope, certainly, and about family legacy, as Marcy points out. So
we do that at a lot of, excuse me,
go ahead,
at the nursing home where my mother is. We'll do storytelling, backgrounds. I limit the type of backgrounds, everybody that's been in the military or let them call or something like that. And, of course, a lot of them make up stories just because they're there and they're interesting, but the ability to talk is great. And then I'll give them a current event, but only the good stuff, you know, lighthearted, and make them talk about that, you know, like who's the president and, you know, what do you think about going there? But, yes, I think you're absolutely right. I think talking to them and storytelling, they feel like people again instead of like, how you doing today, Mom, pat, pat, and then out. You know, you have to spend some time with them and care and let them talk. And like my mother, she's having a real difficult, Betty, the other caregiver, knows my mother very well, and she's gone with me before. My mother will be talking away, and I have no idea what she's saying.
Oh, you do.
I know she said to me, she said to me one day, "What's your mom saying?" And I'm like, "I don't know." Because, you know, you get a word out
sure.
of it, but she's gotten so bad now that she just big old smiles. And
yes, and, yes. And as we know, a lot is going on in that person's head that they can't quite articulate sometimes.
Yes.
So the story is very valuable for that person. And so it's great that stories can be so great for us individually, but then when we share it with others, it can be great for others, and it can be great for family legacy as well. So I'm going to come back to you, Jeff. You've heard this conversation so far, and I'm thinking about your wife and this incredible challenge she takes up every day going out and teaching school. So what do you think? Do you think that there's a room for doing some either oral or writing stories with your wife, or what do you think?
Yes, I think there's room for story. Like you say, I feel like storytelling is very important, you know. You can keep a history, an oral. I mean, it's a lot of memories there, and, you know, passing it to your children, grandchildren, friends. A lot of people just don't know what a person experiences, not only the person with the condition, but also the caregiver. You know, caregiver has a real story themselves sometimes. like the young lady here was saying, with her being a long distance and feeling sometimes uncomfortable because she's not there, like elbowing on the ground, and you know, I felt that way when I also lost my father, you know, and I was the only one in the area, and my brother and sister are both out of state, and I had to coordinate everything even before and after the funeral arrangement, and they got their time to cry and do all that, and you know, I still had to handle business and probate, and maybe about nearly a year later, then it really hits you. That's when you hit your tears, you know.
Yes. That's such an important point, that the caregiver should always attend to their own stories as well and share those. Yeah. Mercy, did you
want to? I mentioned funerals. And it's interesting, you know, at a funeral, everyone comes together mm-hmm. and shares stories.
Yes.
And then they stop.
Yes.
And then, you know, that day passes and everything goes back. And the stories that we share are so interesting. And I always say, oh, I want to know more. I want to know more. You know, for me, my parents had this huge life before me. I mean, my dad was 50 when he had me. So, yeah, exactly. So, you know, he lived this amazing life that I had no idea about. He was in the military. He worked on tugboats up and down the rivers in New York. But, you know, when I knew him, he was an IBMer. and you know, was kind of this, I hate to say boring guy, but he was a shift worker, and he got me up at 4:30 and 5 o'clock in the morning, and I thought, what the heck, you know?
Yeah.
But and as I've gotten older and talked more to my brothers and sisters and somewhat to my mom, I've learned so much more about him. In a very strange way, it made me miss him even more.
Yeah.
Because I've realized that, you know, as a bratty kid, I was a good kid, but let's face it, we're all brats when we're little. You know, I lost some time to really get to know him as the person that he was. So that's what I love now about the storytelling that I'm doing and really trying to, you know, do with my sister. And she has a son who, even though he's in his 30s, is still a bratty teenager. And I'm trying to drag him into this, you know, we need to talk. We're all that is left.
Yeah.
So let's share and let's really get into this and our family.
Yeah, the point about the funeral is so interesting, Marcy, because one of the things that I often encourage people is don't just share stories at funerals. And because that is where most of them happen. Marcy made me think of another issue as well. When my mother passed away, I learned so much from my brother about him, because we've been sort of competitive. You know, siblings do that, right? And so Betty's nodding her head. You know, you learn so much about your siblings, and we found we shared more stories with each other about our own personal challenges for the first 50 years of our life that we've never shared before until my mother and father became ill. So you can learn so much from your family members along the way. So, Betty, you have other comments. You've been nodding your head, and so please join in.
I knew that you should mention this because my father, well, our grandparents were born in Ireland, and his mom and dad settled at Ellis Island in New York. There were six children. And my father was, I don't know, he's probably the only one who went to college out of the six children. He got his master's at Columbia, and he's a professor at the University of Denver, where I graduated from. And he always was telling us he was going to tell this one story, and he was going to write it down. He never got around to writing it down. There was a trip the family went up the farm, and the moving van, they had spaghetti and an old piano in the truck, and it fell out. And all. And it was just amazing all these things that could happen went wrong. And it was just a really, it would be a very funny story, but he never put it on paper. And he liked to write. He used to write poetry, and he was always writing me letters when I was living in Denver, and they were down here in Florida already. But anyway, that's something, you know, can't go back and recover now.
Yes, and so that's a lesson to all of us. I mean, we all have stories, and nodding around the table here, that we forgot to put down, or somebody else forgot to put down. I know precious little about my great-grandparents, for example. Even my grandparents, I can't go back very far, but what I've run out of information. And if our listeners are feeling that way today, then maybe we all should think, well, what do we want to leave, to Jeff's point, to the posterity, to the people who come after us? Maybe we ought to get some of this down. And it doesn't have to be, I'm an old English teacher, so I know that when you say to somebody, write a story, they go, I can't write a story. But we're not talking big stories here. We're talking just short little things to make note of, to pass on, like Jeff is encouraging us to do. So,
a funny thing about that, you say writing things down. My mom used to, I don't really know why, but she used to read some of my favorite books onto a tape recorder for me when I was little. And so I could lay in bed with my little tape recorder and listen to my mom read back my story, and I would follow along in the book. Mm-hmm. And strangely enough, probably about 5 or 6 years ago, doing some cleaning at my mom's house, and I found those old tapes. And believe it or not, she still has that tape recorder. And so I popped them in, and it's just, it's so interesting for me to go back and to listen to my mom's voice. I mean, it's the same voice, but there's just something about hearing her read those words of Star Wars from, you know, 1980 again, that just, it made me save those tapes. Now, I don't know where I'm going to find a tape recorder to play them, but if I ever do, it's just something that that I will cherish. And it's, you know, now with all of this technology that we have, you don't need to necessarily sit and hand write. You could type, or you could record right into your computer.
Absolutely. There's another tip. Although, we're in about a half an hour, we're going to have a session here at the convention on storytelling. And I inevitably, the participants who come to my sessions will say, I haven't written anything down with a real pencil on paper for a long time. And they'll say, that feels really good. Something different happens in your head when you actually use it, you know. But having even said that, we have so many different ways to get our stories down. So encourage people to do that.
You're telling us we don't have any excuses?
There are no excuses. So our three caregivers, any other comments that you'd like to make? We have just a few moments left. Anybody?
No, it's just
this is Cynthia. Okay. Did you have something to add, Cynthia?
I just wanted to say that caregiving is difficult, but it can be lovely. Because you still have your person, and as you spoke, the stories are so important, and you encourage them to talk and speak.
Exactly.
And then you learn a lot about, I never knew my mother had an maid named Annie. I thought I knew most of them because that's how I learned to cook. My mother never cooked. My mom and dad are awesome. I lost my father a year after 9/11. He was military in the State Department. And we traveled all over the world. We're the closest family ever, just the four of us, my mom, dad, and my brother.
Yeah.
And so my dad gone and my mom's memory slight. The stories are very important.
Very. And we can learn so much. You go, oh, I didn't know that.
No,
right.
No.
You don't have to go on Ancestry.com. You've got your, you know, people right there to get stories from. Betty, any closing comments from you?
No, just that I wish I would have known more when all this started. My father had Alzheimer's 14 years ago. He was in a civilian facility as well, a house. And I think, I'm trying to figure out how he got there, but when he was in the hospital, I guess they were looking for a place, a smaller facility, and this lady that runs the facility, she's from Jamaica, and she had the one house. And when my mother, I knew I had to get her out of the house. She was falling. She couldn't figure out the medicine bottles either. That's another thing. The lady across the street, Pam, would come over every night when she got home from work from Disney and dispersed her medicines for her because she got them all confused, which I think is pretty common if you're doing it yourself.
Yeah.
But I wish I knew more then than I know now, because now I'm not actively taking care of people. I try to help other people with that situation.
Your story will be invaluable for people.
I just retired from 41 teaching school.
Oh, did you? Oh, you were a school teacher. Okay, so you have the tools to do this. Jeff, how about you? Any closing comments?
I think after hearing today, I will do some storytelling, write, you know, those short stories, the things, you know, related to caregiving, even the things about myself, my parents.
Here you go.
You know, and, you know, someday somebody may find important. They may not seem important now, but they'll be important in the future.
Yeah, and we have Marcy to thank for that example of his and pull stuff out later. Yes, Betty?
I just want to say one more thing. It's nice to hear your parents' voices. When we were little, my father used to take all these 8-millimeter pictures, and one day they decided to put them on VHS. So they're on VHS, and they're all narrated, about 3 or 4 of them, from our life with my brother, sister, my mom, and dad. In fact, I haven't played in a long time trying to get transferred to it.
DVD. Exactly, all this new technology. Well, you know, I have to conclude. It's amazing how quickly a half an hour goes. But I want to thank our four caregivers, Marcy, Jeff, Betty, and Cynthia. I feel like they're real friends, even in this having met not very long ago. So I encourage you all to do storytelling. And I'd also like to encourage our listeners and our readers of EatYourDiary.com, beginning here in September, this fall, we will be having a session on our website related to storytelling. And we're going to have a special place for all of you to make comments and to put your stories on our site. So watch for that new page. I believe we're going to be premiering it on September the 10th. And we look forward to hearing from you and your stories. And I, Marjorie Papp, will have some specific tips on how you can get started with your stories. So we want to thank you all today for listening. And happy storytelling. Thanks again. Goodbye.